Well, it is so great to be here tonight. Dominic and I are very privileged and honored to be here with you guys. We are on the west side with Church on the North Coast Lorraine as youth pastors, and we love it. We love the kids and everything that we do. And so can we just welcome and honor Pastor Dominic to come up today, tonight?
All right. Isn't she cute? She's like the cutest thing ever. Awesome. Yeah, sit down. Like she said, if you don't know who I am, my name is Dominic. I'm the youth pastor over in the west side. I always say east side, but the youth pastor over in the west side. And I don't get to come out here that much, that often anymore. So I'm really excited to spend tonight with you guys. I hope you guys are excited as well. We're going to get into some really cool things. But before we go, you know, I just wanted to say, just kind of repeating what my wife said, it's just such an honor to be here with you and such a privilege to just pour into you and just share a little bit of what God's been putting on my heart. So I'm going to read to you from this book, and it's going to be a short passage, but if you've never seen this or heard of this book before, it's called Anonymous by Alicia Britt Cole. So if you want to write that down, hint, hint, you probably should. This book, I'm telling you, it'll change your life. Like, this is the majority of what I'm talking about tonight comes right from this book, and it's so powerful. It gave me such a level of freedom when it comes to just the different seasons and the different timings of the Lord that it'll blow you away. So get to pick up this book, but I want to read to you a passage from it before we get started. Who's it by? Alicia Britt Cole. And Alicia is kind of spelled a little different. It's A-L-I-C-I-A. So that's Alicia Britt Cole. So it's really good. So I'm going to read to you this passage, and then we'll get started. And she says in her book, "What the plenty of summer hides, the nakedness of winter reveals. Infrastructure. Fullness often distracts from foundations. But in the stillness of winter, the tree's true strength is unveiled. Stripped of decoration, the tree trunks become prominent. As a child, I always colored tree trunks brown, but to my adult eyes, they appear to be more of a warm gray. Starting with their thick base, I began studying each tree. Buckling strips of bark clothe mile after mile of weathered branches. Leafless, the trees feature their intricate support systems. Detail is visible, as is dead wood. Lifeless limbs concealed by summer's boasting are now exposed. My eyes glide from one rough, uneven bow to another, and then to the terminal, delicate twigs. A tree's posture is all open, like arms ready for an embrace. So very vulnerable, yet so very strong. I find the display quietening and full of grace. In winter, are the trees bare? Yes. In winter, are the trees barren? No. Life still is. Life does not sleep, though in winter she retracts all advertisement. And when she does so, she is conserving and preparing for the future." And so that's just a little bit from her book, and it's really what we're going to talk about tonight. So before we get started, I want to pray, and then we're going to dive right into this. So why don't you bow your heads with me, and we'll get started right. Jesus, we just come to you tonight, God, and we thank you, God, for everything that you do. For every promise that you've given us, God, for every dream, for every ambition, God, for every gifting and talent that you've given us, we just say thank you right now. And for the greatest gift of all, Jesus, just coming down here to set us free from the sin and to reunite us with our Father, we just say thank you tonight. And we don't take that gift for granted, but we remember always your sacrifice. We love you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys a question. How many of you have ever felt like you've been hidden? You know what I mean? Kind of like in a hidden place, in a hidden season. Raise your hand if you're like, you know, I've felt hidden. And if you don't quite know what I mean, maybe you've moved away into a place where you're not familiar, you don't know any friends, you don't have any family. Maybe you've gone from like one position where you're really pouring out and mentoring and people are celebrating you and you're influencing people, and then God shifts you to another position, and you don't feel as celebrated, or you don't feel as valued or needed, or, oh, thank you, my mouth is like, drink me. That didn't make sense. Okay. But maybe you are used to being celebrated. Maybe your talents are used to being praised and celebrated, and then
all of a sudden they kind of aren't so celebrated anymore. And you guys, is everyone in here familiar with the place where I'm talking about, where you just feel unappreciated, you feel hidden, you feel like the world has kind of covered you up and no one can see your giftings or your values? But that's what we want to deal with tonight. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the purpose in these moments and the purpose in these seasons, that God does have a plan. See, it's in these times we can identify with feeling invisible rather than praised. Hidden for years, we feel like we are hiding under a rock. But I want you guys to know tonight that God sees value in you, even though others can't. When you're hidden, when you feel like people are unappreciative of your giftings, God still sees that and he values that. Matter of fact, God values you as much as he does the person that is being celebrated. See, when we're obedient to God, it doesn't matter if we're hidden or if we're celebrated by the entire world. If we're in his obedience, he sees and he celebrates you tonight. So that's what I want to tell you, came here to tell you, church. Let's see. There is strength in hiddenness. You know, it's really interesting. I posted a video on Facebook kind of advertising this message tonight, but it's really interesting because there's strength in the hidden place. Scientists has discovered that, icebergs. Scientists has discovered that icebergs, like on the North and South Pole, that only 10% of their total mass is revealed above water. And so it's really interesting. You look at an iceberg and you think, okay, that's probably like the top of it's maybe like 50 to 60, 70% of its total mass. But in reality, it's only 10% of the total mass of the entire iceberg. And so that means 90% of that iceberg is unseen. And so we look at this, it's like an equation. We see this equation and it's 10% seen, 90% unseen. And these scientists say that these icebergs are indestructible. And so if we take this principle for ourselves and we say, okay, 10% is seen and valued and celebrated, and 90% of who we are should be hidden, that is the equation to have an indestructible life. See, a lot of times it's frustrating and we feel like we're not being used enough, or we feel like we don't have a purpose or a destiny, but in reality, God's creating an indestructible life inside of you. And we're going to walk through it. I know we're going to look at somebody, and I think everyone in this room can agree that this person for sure had and has an indestructible life. We're gonna walk through the life of Jesus for a little while, and we're just going to focus on Jesus and really get everything that we can from his life so that we can learn and know and see the value of living an indestructible life. So I want to look at, hold on, let me get a drink. And if this is okay with you guys, I'm not like going to preach tonight. I'm not really going to teach. I just want to talk to you because this subject is just really, I feel like it's so important that I just want to have a conversation so it really, you really get it. Because once I got this, like, you'll see. I'll just wait till the end. So if we take the life of Jesus, and the life of Jesus is written out in 4 Gospels in the Bible, and basically it's a total of 89 chapters. So we look at the life of Jesus written out in 89 chapters, and only 4 of those chapters record the life of Jesus prior to his 30th birthday. And I'll go over those accounts really quick. We don't have time to get into those, but the accounts is the first in Matthew and Luke. They show us the birth of Jesus when he was birthed in Bethlehem. It tells the whole story of that. The second one is when he was circumcised in the temple on the 8th day. The third one, when he was visited by wise men, and they don't know exactly what time that happened. It was within the first 2 years of the life of Jesus. And the fourth account we have before 30 years old was that when Jesus was 12 years old, his parents lost him at the temple because he stayed in the temple to discuss God with the priest there. And it's crazy because Jesus lived on this earth for 30 years, and we only have those 4 small glimpses into his past, into his life. And so we can take that equation that we found out earlier, and we can say Jesus lived 33 years on this earth. And we truly only know what happened in 3 of those years. And so Jesus lived a life that was literally 90% unseen. No one knows about Jesus. Jesus was not celebrated. Jesus is not special. Obviously, Mary and a few close family relatives knew who he was, but I guarantee he was no special person. We read in the Bible that he returned to Nazareth during his ministry, and who's this? It's just Jesus. No one knew he was special. He lived under a rock for 30 years. And a lot of times when we go through these small seasons of hiddenness, we just feel like the world's going to end. No one praised me. Oh my gosh, it's been 2 weeks and I haven't gotten one affirmation or anything. Try 30 years of living this lifestyle of hiddenness and being covered by God. So 18 years after the incident at the temple, Jesus emerges from nowhere to begin his ministry. And he began it by being baptized by John the Baptist and goes on to have an incredible ministry for 3 years. So 30 years of obscurity and only 3 public years of ministry. So I want you guys to do something for me. Raise your hand if you've ever had a role model. Who in here has ever had a role model in life? Maybe you could say like my parent, a grandparent, maybe a sports figure. Somebody, I think everybody in here has had a role model, right? Somebody that, you know, no, you haven't? Oh, well, somebody that you can look up to. Sorry, I just figured that everyone has. Okay, yes, that's what I'm getting there. I'm getting there. So just hold on. Don't preach for me. I'm getting there. Okay. So everyone in here has a role model, but being Christians, here I go, being Christians, I think we all can determine that Jesus would be our role model as Christians, right? If there's anybody in the Bible that I want to be like, it'd be Jesus probably because, you know, he's perfect and he was just Jesus. He did a lot of cool things. And so we can all say that, you know, Jesus is our role model. And a matter of fact, the Bible does tell us to, like, be like Jesus. But you know what, like, boggles my mind? God has the audacity to tell us to be like Jesus, but then doesn't show us what Jesus did 90% of his life. That's crazy. Think about it. Try to be like somebody. Okay, for example, let's go take a trip back to school, because I'm a youth pastor, so that's how I think. So you're in school, you're taking your math test, and the teacher says, this test covers the entire book. You're only allowed to read 10% of the book, though, to study. Like, what is that? Like, that's ridiculous, right? That doesn't make any sense. But that's what we have here. We have God saying, he's your role model, imitate Jesus, but we don't know anything about Jesus. And I was struggling with this whole thing and this whole concept, and I'm like, God, how in the world do you want me to be like Jesus if you give me 10% of his life? And it's all the good stuff, right? It's all like the highs of Jesus' life. So how are we supposed to imitate that? Sorry, my mouth is really dry today for some reason. But I feel like God gave me this answer when he answered me this question. I felt like he told me, Dominic, if I would let you see the entirety of the life of Jesus, your Christianity and your faith would turn into a formula instead of a relationship. See, if we were able to track down every little detail of what Jesus did in those first 30 years, it would turn into this. Watch. It would turn into... Jesus did that when he was 12. Okay, so I'm about 12. Okay, cool. I'm going to do this. And it would be trying to just do every little thing that Jesus did so we can have every little result that Jesus had. Because that's just how we work. It's easier just to tell me what to do. I don't want to do this faith thing. Just tell me what to do. I'll do it, and then me and God will be tight. And so God was protecting us. He didn't want this personal relationship to turn into some kind of equation. And that's why he didn't give us a glimpse into the past of the life of Jesus. But it's interesting because also, by looking in the last 3 years of the life of Jesus that we have recorded, by looking into these last 3 years, we're able to see what Jesus was really doing in those first 30 years. By really studying these last 3 years, we might not be able to tell exactly what he's doing at what time, but we have a good understanding about what he was doing when he was in that hidden place. You know, there's countless accounts in the Bible where Jesus stood up and quoted scripture. He was probably studying. He was probably in the Word, because yes, he was God, but he didn't just pop out of the womb able to quote scripture. That's not how that works. He was in the Word. Those first 30 years, he probably woke up and studied the entire Bible every single day. Just studying the Word. We see incredible discipline accounts in the Bible of Jesus, where he retracts himself in the middle of the night to go pray. Or he does all these different things, and it's like, man, how does a man like that have such discipline? You know why? That's in that first 30 years. That just didn't happen. Jesus didn't just live this normal life, and then when God said, okay, Jesus, time to start your ministry, he became this like superhuman pastor. That's not what happened. And so as we really look into the detailed life of Jesus, we're able to see who he was growing up. And so let me ask you a question, and I want you to answer this out loud. I want you to answer this with you and God. When God places you in a secret place or in obscurity, or you feel like you're being covered by God, do you spend your time complaining and wishing that you would be seen? Or do you spend your time preparing for the future like Jesus was doing? See, I think that's the question that we really need to ask ourselves honestly. That God, okay, whenever I'm not being celebrated, whenever I feel like I'm just, you know, just going through the motions, and I feel like I'm just being covered up, are you sitting there complaining and just, God, why this? Why this? Why can't they just see me? If they just saw my giftings, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. You know, if they just really knew what the calling of God was on my life, okay, if they knew or if you were preparing, which one? Because too often Christians in the church just want the spotlight. But what are you doing in that secret place to prepare for the spotlight? Because I tell you, and we see it in the news all the time, we see people in the spotlight and fall morally, every different kind of way. Why? Because they don't have an indestructible life. They don't live an indestructible life. Why? Because they just jump to the spotlight. 100% of who they are is seen. And that's why they're not indestructible. And that's why God's protecting you by bringing you through these secret places so you can develop an indestructible life. So 90% of who you are is submerged in the depths of this beautiful relationship with God, so that when something comes against you, you don't crumble apart like a little ice cube. So what are you doing in those secret places? Are you grumbling or complaining? Or are you saying, okay, God, I know why I'm here. I'm not here for people to see me and celebrate me. I'm here to refine my character. I'm here to learn integrity. I'm here to just study your word. That's what these secret places are meant for, church. So since we have no account of the first 30 years of Jesus' life, I can imagine how every day went down. So just take this trip with me. This is not biblical. Obviously, we determined that the first 30 years are not in the Bible. So don't go try to look this up in the Bible. It's not in there. I can just see, I'm just imagining, I can just see Jesus, you know, like he's probably, let's say he's like 20, just turned 20. I can see him get up in the morning, you know, he hops in the shower, he's doing his thing. He grabs his Starbucks, his red Starbucks cup. But that was before Starbucks did the Christmas thing, so it was cool. So it was cool. They had the snowflakes on it, so it was good. So Jesus had his Starbucks, and it was good. And, you know, he was just chilling. And I could see him sit down, you know, having his quiet time. He's reading some of the Bible. And then I can see this, right? Just imagine this with me. So he's done. He puts his stuff away, and he says, Dad, is it time yet? Is it time yet? And I can just hear God say, no, not yet, son. And these moments are crucial because Jesus can either, what, grumble and complain about how, God, I came here to save these people and you're not going to let me do it for 30 years? Let me just get on with my life. Let me just get out there, die on the cross so I can be done with this. Is that what Jesus did? I can see it going like this. Okay, Dad, I trust you. Right back to work. I must not be ready yet. Okay, Dad, right back to work. And I can see this conversation happening between Jesus and the Father every day for 30 years. Jesus getting his red Starbucks cup. God, is it time yet, Dad? Not yet, son. Not yet. Is it time yet, Dad? Not yet, son. Not yet. And imagine when Jesus was about to turn 30. Dad, is it time? It's time. It's time, son. I can see that. I can see that moment. Like, I don't know if you can, but I can see that moment. Like, Jesus is maybe, like, sitting down, just, like, praying, is it time yet? And he hears, yeah. And he's like, wait, are you serious? Like, yes, yes. Like, I can go now? I don't have to be a carpenter anymore? Yes? Like, what are you talking about? I can see that happening. I just feel like he would be so excited. And it's so interesting, because then I can see it. Jesus saying, is it time? And God's like, yes, son, go. And he's like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? And God's saying, look, go to the Jordan River. There's this crazy cousin of yours down there. And he's baptizing people. Just go down there, get baptized, and we'll go from there, right? Okay, Jesus. Okay, Dad, I'm gone. And this is like this is the part that's so powerful that I want you guys to grab. Jesus gets baptized by John. And what happens? What happens? We see it in Matthew 3:17. The Bible tells us, and suddenly, everyone say suddenly. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now, tell me, how many people has Jesus healed up until that point? Probably none. Probably, I mean, we don't have accounts of that. He didn't really do a lot of public ministry. He wasn't, like, why would God be proud of him? See, it goes back to what I was saying. The Father values the hidden moments. God was proud of his son, not because he's getting ready to save the world, not because of his public ministry, but he's proud of his son because he could say, look, Jesus, I know now you have an indestructible life. He said, Jesus, you spent 90% of your time here on earth in the hidden place, and now I know that nothing can stop you from what I've called you to do. Nothing can stop him from the calling that God had on his life. And God said, now go. Now go. Now that you are indestructible, nothing can take you down. Now spend the rest of the 10% changing the world. Changing the world, church. Now, it's crazy because if that was the story of Jesus, and Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is God in flesh, and he had to have 30 years of preparation to live this life out. Like, we get upset over a couple weeks. Like, who do we think we are? Really? We think that we are better than Jesus, so to speak, because we don't need that much preparation time. Like, we're good. Just give me like a month of study and all this stuff. I'm straight. I don't need Bible school. Like, I'm cool. I read the Bible. But like, whoa, slow down. We need to begin to celebrate these hidden moments. We need to begin to recognize these places that we're in and say, okay, God, look, I understand what Jesus went through, and I know the path that he had to walk out. I'm willing. Like, let me, keep me hidden. I'm telling you guys, after I read this book, I was like, God, can I be hidden forever? Is that a thing? Is that a choice? Can I choose to do that? Because that it'll mess you up once you see the importance of your relationship and the hidden place in God. And the Father was pleased with the hidden years of Jesus because he knew that 90% of obscurity had made Jesus indestructible. So what did we learn from the beginning? 10% seen plus 90% hidden equals an indestructible life. Your strength in public comes from the private places in your life. The strength that you have in the public place, it comes from your devotion to the hidden place. Because your giftings and your talents, look, God cares more about you than he cares about those things. God cares more about you as a person than the giftings and talents that you possess. That's why he will send the Son of Man, let him go through 90% of his life to make sure that he can handle that 10%. Like I said earlier, there's countless of examples that we can see of pastors, ministers, worship leaders falling for moral reasons, all these different reasons, because God isn't, let me put it this way, God will take a blemish on his own reputation to save you. Like, we see all these people falling, and to me, it always made me sick. Like, man, God, like, why can't you just kind of, you know, fix them and not let that stuff come out just so, you know, you don't look bad? Because that just looks bad on you, right? And that looks bad on us as Christians. But God's saying, no, look, I care more about that person than I care about my reputation. I care more about them having character. I care more about them being responsible and them having integrity and them knowing me on a personal level than I do about them singing songs in front of millions. I don't care about that stuff. And so tonight, guys, I want you to understand, I want you to get that the secret place that you're in, or that you're going to be in, or whatever, if you're in and out of these seasons, embrace it. Those are the times of true strength. It's not, just like Alicia Britt Cole puts it perfectly in her book, she says, it's not barrenness. You may be bare, but you're not barren. There's a difference. You may not have any fruit right now. You may not be, you know, doing all these really cool things, but that doesn't mean you're fruitless. That just means you're in a pruning process. That means you're in a preparation process to reap the biggest harvest of your life. That's what that's for, guys. And I just really want you to understand. And this is crazy. I want to share this last thought with you guys. This blew my mind. So we're with Jesus. Jesus gets baptized. You know, before that, Jesus and God are having this dialogue. God, is it time? Is it time? Jesus is like, God, is it time? God's like, no, not yet, not yet. Finally, yes, Jesus goes and gets baptized. What happens right after Jesus gets baptized? God says, back to the hidden place. Back to the wilderness. What is that? Like, if I was Jesus, I'd be like, all right, you're playing jokes, because that's not cool. I was here for 30 years, and you're going to send me right back for another month. After Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist, he's then sent, the Bible says, the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. And he fasts for 30 days, or 40 days and 40 nights, right? 40 or 30? 40, right. Like, that's crazy. And you know what that speaks of? That this isn't a one-time process. Like, a lot of you, I don't want you to get too comfortable sitting in those seats, because you might be like, yeah, I went through those hidden years, I'm good. Just want you to know that this is kind of a cycle. This isn't a one-time thing. Don't get too cozy over there in those chairs knowing like, oh, it's for the young folk. No. Nope. Slick. This is a cycle. If Jesus waited 30 years of his life, finally got the launch into ministry, and then it was like, I can see it like this. Like, God's like kind of holding Jesus' robe, and Jesus is like, come on, let me go. He finally lets go, and Jesus is like, all right, cool. Yoop, right back, you know? Like, he's just like, psych. But it's just, right. No, I'm just saying. But why? There's a purpose behind that. Because it's preparation. It's preparation. So now, since we know all that information, let's look at the life of Jesus now. What did Jesus do? He went around laying hands on people and watching them healed. Not because he was the Son of God, but because he had 30 years to spend with the Father. Jesus would walk around and hear the voice of the Spirit say, go that way, and just go. Why? Not because he was God, but because for 30 years, he practiced listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Every day, listen, is that you? No, that's, okay, I think this is you. Every day, practicing. Like, when I used to read the Bible, I used to think, man, Jesus was just good. Like, he was just good. I don't know. He's just God. There's no explanation. There's an explanation for why Jesus did what he did. He came to this earth fully man, fully human. And a lot of us at the church, raise your hand if you're in here if you can say, I would like to be like Jesus. I'd like to be like Jesus. If that's not a bad thing. All of us can identify with that. But very few of us can identify with the 30 years of obscurity. See, that statement of, I would like to be like Jesus, it's interesting because it doesn't, at least for me, I'm just going to speak for me. For me, it never included not being known for 30 years. I want the life of Jesus, but just the 3 years at the end. That's what I want, right? And then you can take away the crucifixion and the suffering and all that stuff. So just kind of that middle part, give me that, right? Like, yeah, just the first 2 years, and then to the third one is just, I don't know what happened there, but I don't want that one, right? So we can identify with that. We think Jesus and we think all these incredible things. But I want to change that thinking, change that mentality. When you think Jesus, think obscurity. When you think Jesus, think hidden place. Because that is what creates a person like Jesus. That hidden place, that place of obscurity, is the 90% of who you should be. So that when Pharisees come against you and accuse you of X, Y, and Z, you have the indestructible life to say, no, I've been here before. My father told me how to answer this question. Amen. All right, church, so do me a favor. Stand up for me. Full worship team wants to come back up. I want to pray for you before we go. That we would all begin, and this, let me just say this as a disclaimer. This isn't a like a good feel good prayer. So if you basically I'm gonna pray that God sends all of us to the hidden place. So if you're like, hey, I'm cool on that, then don't exclude yourself. But this is a prayer for those of you that want an indestructible life. Those of you that said, you know what, I may not be celebrated, but at least I know I'm strengthened. I may not be celebrated, I may not be feel like I'm valued, but at least I can begin to have the lifestyle that Jesus had. Because the reality is, the Bible says that God is going to put all of our works, all of our actions through the fire, and the wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn right up. And only the gold, the precious metals are going to come out. You know what that says to me? That celebration, that hidden, those seen moments, that 10% of seen, of celebration and value, that's the woods, the hay and stubble. That stuff's going to be gone. But you know what's going to be left? Your character. You know what's going to be left? Your values, your morals. Your relationship with God. He values those intimate moments. And that's what's going to be left. And that's what really matters. So, Father, I thank you for this group here tonight, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you have given us the ability to live an indestructible life. I thank you, God, that it may not seem or look or be what we want it to be, God. Thank you, Jesus, that in the end, it's what we need. And so I pray, God, that right now, every single person in this room, Jesus, that you would begin to move them into a hidden place with you, God. And I pray that either as they move or in the future, when the hidden seasons come, Father God, that they will no longer welcome these seasons with grumbling and complaining and fighting against what you're doing, God. But I pray, Jesus, that as these seasons come, as the winters come into our hearts, God, that we will embrace them, knowing that growth is coming. As winter comes in our hearts, God, I pray that we would be expectant of the spring and not reject the pruning of the hidden place, God. And so, Jesus, right now, I pray that you would bless every single person in this room. I pray, God, that every single person here would be able to see the fruitfulness of being hidden. Let them see the benefits of it, God. And I pray, Jesus, that if we don't get it once, if we don't get it twice, God, keep taking us back. Keep taking us back, Jesus. Take us to that intimate moment with you, God. Right now, just with your intimate moment with Jesus, I just want you to bow your head and just reflect and really think about the times that you've maybe rejected a hidden moment or a hidden season in your life. Think about the past times where you could say, you know what, now that you say that, I see that this time that I was going through, that this was a time of strengthening. This was a time of of rebuilding in my life, and I rejected it. Now, I don't want you to reflect to make you feel bad. I want you to reflect so that you know when the next one's coming, what it looks like. I want you to reflect on these moments so that when the next hidden moment comes your way, you'll be able to identify it and embrace it. Because they're not fun. No one likes being in a desert for over a month. It's not fun. But there is no magic trick to achieve the life that Jesus lived. This is the way. He said it himself, I am the way. It's either all true or none true. We can't pick and choose these pieces of his life that we want to live anymore. It's time for us, church, to embrace these seasons, these hidden moments. So Father, Holy Spirit, identify these moments as they come in the future. Identify these moments as they come, Jesus. And I pray, God, that we will be totally invested in these seasons, in these moments. That we won't let these moments slip by again, God, but we will take full advantage so that when we come out of it, we'll look like you, Jesus. We'll look like you. We love you, Father. What I want to do right now, if there's any altar ministers that are here, if you can make your way forward. But I just want to open up a time. Maybe you're sitting there and you can say, you know, I've missed some hidden moments, or I've missed some opportunities, or maybe you need prayer for just how to handle these things, or whatever the case may be. If you need prayer for healing, if you're just emotional needs, whatever you need, we want to pray with you before the night's out. We want to pray with you. If you're sitting here and you're saying, you know, I don't even know what you're talking about this whole Jesus thing, I want to challenge you. Because this world's rough without Jesus. And Jesus is the only way to that indestructible life. That indestructible life lasts all of eternity. It's the only way to get it. So I challenge you to get it. So, as I dismiss, I want to invite you to come up, but also I want to give you the opportunity to give your tithe and offering this evening. I know we didn't collect it at the beginning of the service, but if you would like to give your tithe and offering, just make your checks out to CNC. The envelopes are in front of you. Grab one of those. I think the ushers should be coming. Oh, they'll collect it at the door on your way out. So if you need prayer, if you want to pray for anything, come this way. But if not, you are dismissed, and we love you guys. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak to you again tonight. It's been great. I love you guys. All right? See you to dismiss. Amen.